At Welch Farms in Jersey County, Illinois, workers are preparing the soil for planting. They're injecting into the ground anhydrous ammonia, a man-made fertilizer. This is modern agriculture, the foundation of civilization.
When agriculture first began about 10,000 years ago, there were 4 million people living on Earth. There are now 6 billion. And the only reason we can have so many people is that we have been able to perfect agriculture.
University of Minnesota ecologist David Tillman says a critical element to perfecting agriculture was inventing synthetic fertilizer containing the element nitrogen, like the ammonia being applied here. Plants need nitrogen to make life's building blocks, including DNA and proteins. So billions of pounds of factory-made nutrients are applied to crops every year. Of course, nitrogen is all around us. The air we breathe is mostly nitrogen. But this gaseous form is kind of like crude oil to a car. It needs to be chemically modified, the same way oil has to be refined to be used. The natural refineries of atmospheric nitrogen are primarily microbes that convert it to a form plants can use. But today, the dominant source of this key nutrient on all Earth's land is not microbes. It's fertilizer factories. These, along with nitrogen compounds created when fuel in cars and power plants is burned, have doubled above natural levels the production of nitrogen nutrients.
The problem is that there can be too much of a good thing.
Jerry Melillo is a researcher at the Marine Biological Laboratory in Woods Hole, Massachusetts. He says the problem is not just how much of this nutrient is made, but where it goes.
It can cascade through the environment in a variety of forms, moving to places that we as humans did not intend it to move.
More than half of the fertilizer applied by growers is never used by plants. It percolates into groundwater. It evaporates into the air and flows from fields to streams and lakes. In rare instances, water supplies become so contaminated with excess nitrogen they become unfit for human use. Nitrogen compounds in such water can replace oxygen in the blood of infants, causing a life-threatening condition sometimes called blue baby syndrome. Waterways polluted with excess nitrogen flow to the ocean. There, in shallow coastal waters, it spurs algae growth. When these algae die and decompose, they use up oxygen, suffocating fish. Cornell biologist Robert Howarth says this is happening in spades at the mouth of the Mississippi River.
The nitrogen pollution coming down the Mississippi River has created an area of about 20,000 square kilometers. That's an area bigger than the state of New Jersey, where a lot of higher forms of life have just been wiped out by this nitrogen pollution.
The degree of damage there is unique because the mighty Mississippi drains so much farmland. But Howarth says two-thirds of U.S. coastal waters suffer from some nitrogen damage. Life on land is at risk as well. Liquid fertilizers evaporate from farmers' fields. These vapors, combined with smaller amounts of nitrogen compounds from tailpipes and smokestacks, drift in the wind and fall to land as acid rain and dust. The effect of nitrogen pollution on trees is the subject of a study at the Harvard Forest outside Boston.
As we go up the path here, there's two research plots on either side. The high nitrogen forest right over here.
Forester John Aber walks briskly up a steep dirt track. For the last 12 years, Aber, a professor at the University of New Hampshire, has been applying fertilizer to this plantation of mature red pine. The scientist turns off the path into a stand of tall trees.
Some of the trees appear actually to be dead, and the remaining trees that are alive, the crowns are very sparse. Some foliage left at the tops and at the ends of the branches, but it's very open.
This is a pretty sick-looking forest.
It is indeed. It's looking a lot worse than it did even a year or two ago.
John Aber says the extra nitrogen is probably binding up soil minerals, making them inaccessible to roots. The trees in this plot are getting big doses, 20 times the amount of nitrogen falling as air pollution. But Eber has some evidence that even smaller amounts of nitrogen, comparable to that coming from acid rain and dust, could be causing subtle forest damage.
So it's kind of a warning that those potential responses are out there if we didn't take care in controlling nitrogen pollution.
And it's not just forests with responses that are out there. Half a continent away, ecologist David Tillman is studying the effects of nitrogen on native grasses. He's been surprised by his results.
Adding a small amount of nitrogen, just the amount that comes out of the atmosphere right now every year in Minnesota, year after year for 20 years, has caused us to lose a little over 30% of the plant prairie species that occurred at our site.
Like many plants, native grasses are adapted to live in low-nutrient sod. They can't take advantage of nitrogen-rich soil. Plants that can, like the European transplant quackgrass, outgrow and replace the natives. Tillman says it's the gradual erosion of the diversity of plant and animal life that may be the most serious impact of nitrogen pollution. Tillman adds U.S. farms and factories must reduce nitrogen pollution if this country's diversity of life is to be preserved. This is Daniel Grossman for the Great Lakes Radio Consortium.